evening. There's some new faces in the evening. Thank you for being here. It's good to see you. Welcome. If you don't know where you're going after this, come see me after. My question for you tonight is, what is something that makes you instantly angry? Here's my... What? Not you. You looked at me like I was going to say you, and it's not you. What it is it's a blue trailblazer. At about 7:45 in the morning, on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And I get instantly angry because I know this car is on 18 behind me. And it is so close to me, you guys, that when you see it in the rearview mirror, you can't see it. And she follows me. I know who she is. She follows me all the way to the drop-off line at school. And because she's in such a hurry, she can't wait in line. She has to go all the way to the front. Park. Sometimes the end of her car is out, so I drop my kids off and I want to go out and I can't get around her. I have to wait for her. And then she pulls off and instantly my body inside, when I even talk about her, I get tight. My hands start to sweat. And there's this part of me that literally has contemplated knocking on her window and being like, hello, do you understand the rules? And then there's this part of me that wants to knock on her window and say, you should consider leaving 5 minutes early because you were in a big hurry, okay? So this emotion of anger just like, ugh. I can feel it. She gets me. Anger is a feeling that is the easiest for my body and mind to go to first. There's this quote by Brené Brown. Anger is an emotion that we feel when something gets in the way of a desired outcome or when we believe there's a violation of the way things should be. She is violating every safety measure that there is. Does she not know that they're supposed to wait 3 to 5 seconds behind a car? Like, there's rules for safety. Like, she instantly gets me. I thought of that. Not appropriate. But enough about my anger. The reason I bring it up is because we're going to see that Jonah is completely angry in our next chapter. So speed review, first week, I introed Jonah, I talked about why we should read it, I gave you two questions to consider as we walked through Jonah. How, when I read Jonah, does it show me about myself, and what does it show me about God, okay? Week two, Jonah rebels against what God wants him to do, he's separated, he hates it so much what God's asked him to do, he puts himself, has him thrown over into the water. Week three, Jonah is in the belly of a fish and he says, God, save me. And God's discipline helps Jonah to turn back to a relationship with God. Week four, 9 words, Jonah goes and does what God asks him and he uses 9 basic words, bare minimum. And a whole city of people turn to God because of his 9 words. Not because of his words, but because God worked in their heart to repent. So today, I need you to open to page 775 in your yellow Bible. By the way, if you have your own Bible, bring it. If you want a Bible, I will give you one. If you don't like the color of your Bible and you want a new Bible, I will give you one. I want you to have a Bible in your hands. So, chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. And I'm like, but... That means that we actually need to go to the verse in front of it. Did you know that that heading, Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion, that wasn't really there in the original text. So you go back to 3:10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So Jonah's angry because God saved the whole city. Verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? So quickly, Jonah forgets that God had compassion on him and that he spared all these people. We don't know why Jonah hates the Ninevites so much. Maybe they did something. We know that they were bad people, and maybe they hurt him personally or his friends, but we don't know. But Jonah's angry. What do you do when you're angry? Seriously. What do you do when you're angry? Think about it for a minute. This is what I do. Things I do. I vent. I complain. Sometimes I walk away. These are all sometimes, okay, guys? Sometimes I argue. I pace. I'm gonna be honest, I swear. I can be silent. I can overthink. I have not nice thoughts. I pray. I talk to a friend, and I journal. God asks Jonah in 4. What does he say? Have you any right to be angry? Has anyone ever asked you, why are you angry? And then you start telling them and you're like, you're not with me. Maybe I need to check myself. That's what God's trying to do to Jonah. He's like, check yourself, Jonah. What are you doing? Why are you angry? Anger is this complicated and important emotion. And it's actually a sign to our bodies that we have a great concern. It's of use to us. Anger happens when we expect justice in one way and those expectations are not met. My expectation of this lady driving is that she would be safe for all pillager people. Hello? And she's not meeting my expectation. Jonah's expectation of God was that he would judge these people and destroy them because they're evil. And Jonah's mad that they repented and turned to God. He's angry. I need you to hear that being angry is not a bad emotion. It's not wrong that he's angry. There's times where anger is good, and there's times where it's bad. And I'm going to tell you that anger is the main emotion. Can you put up my wheel? Okay, so anger is what I feel. But really, anger masks all these other feelings. And if I was really, really honest about my anger with this lady, I have fear. I have fear that she is gonna, my new driver as a son that I have, she's gonna mess with him and she's gonna get my kid in an accident. And actually, if I go even deeper, I feel helpless. Because what am I gonna do? Do I knock on her window? Do I let her be? So anger is this thing that, like, there's other feelings under it. And there's healthy anger. Wrong way, Amanda. Healthy anger, Brené says, is an indicator light in our car that tells us to pull over, check things out. Anger is a very effective emotional indicator that tells us to pull over and check things out. So, healthy anger. We need to feel it. We need to identify that there's actually probably more feelings. Why are we angry? And she also says, anger is in a response to experiencing or witnessing injustice, pain, and struggle. It can be a powerful catalyst for change, but by definition, a catalyst sparks change, but it is not the change. So healthy anger is that we aren't stuck there, that we can forgive and move on, and we use that as a spark to change something. I think of my family. If we're all angry and yelling and bickering back and forth, no one's changing their mind. But when we come back together and we're calm and we can listen, then change happens. So through Jonah's anger, we're going to see outcomes of actually unhealthy anger. You can write these if you want. Jonah says, God, kill me. I don't want to live. Oh, sorry. Unhealthy anger leads you to have a feeling of not that you're not worth living. Let's keep reading. 5. Jonah went out and sat at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. So Jonah doesn't take the check of anger that God gave him. Instead, he goes out of the city. He builds himself this little shelter. And he watches in hopes that the city, in hopes that God changed his mind, that he would send destruction onto the Ninevites. Note that this is the first time we actually see Jonah be happy. And he's happy about a plant that God's kindness showed onto him so he wasn't so hot. He's actually not happy that God saved 120,000 people, but he's happy because of God's kindness upon himself. That brings you to us to this point. Unhealthy anger brings this idea of hope for judgment on others that we would never want to happen to ourselves. The author says, recently a man who had greatly harmed me lost his wife by a tragic death. Upon hearing the news, I immediately experienced the temptation to say, he's getting what he deserves. Yet in a moment of grace, the Spirit of God led me to praying for this brother in the Lord rather than gloating in his pain. I thought, I would not want my wife to die in that manner. Neither would I want others rejoicing while I grieved losing her. I would want mercy, and I have experienced great mercy in Christ's atoning work on behalf of my sins. Therefore, I wish for the Lord to pour out that same great mercy on my offender. To do otherwise would be a short-sighted and selfish denial of my own need for the Lord's mercy. Can you relate to him? Where you're like, oh, I wish that person got what they deserved. The truth is that we all deserve death for the sin in our lives, the way we treat each other. And when we're stuck like Jonah, we can't actually look in the mirror and see others. We have like this minor view of what we think we deserve, which is greatness, when in actuality, we need to have like a panoramic view that everyone deserves God's grace. Everyone deserves it because technically we're all the same. Verse 9, but God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. How many times is this? Like 3 or 4? But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or grow it. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about the great city? Once again, he wants to die because of he's so angry and mad. And Jonah has really set himself up as the judge of what he thinks is right and what should happen to the people around him. When do you do that? When do you play judge? I know that when I play it, it's not right, but I'm so angry. But then when I really think about it, I don't want something bad to happen. It's easy for us when we have this narrow view to convince ourselves that the friends, the enemies, the people that annoy us should not get grace, should not give mercy or forgiveness, but that we get it because we're better, but in reality, we're not. So what Jonah did is he isolated himself, and that's what unhealthy anger does. And when I'm isolated, I can convince myself that it is a big old pity party and it's all about me. God points out to Jonah that he is more concerned for this plant than he does the souls of all these people. And he's missing the opportunity to be merciful like God. When we are isolated, we can't give mercy. We are only thinking about ourselves. And a side note, that is fact. Unhealthy anger will leave you exhausted, sick, and will impact your health in a negative way. I have to admit that when I got to the end of Jonah, I was like real unsatisfied. I wanted to know, like, what does Jonah decide? How does this play out? But as I've sat with the ending, I see this beautiful picture of God's love, his grace, his care. He cared for Jonah after being disobedient over and over. He cared by sending him this plant for his forgiveness for all people. God loves each one of us. He loved and cared for Jonah. He showed compassion for the Ninevites, for those who turned to him. And that's the same for us. Every single human, each of us, are loved by God. And we have a choice like Jonah. Are we going to view ourselves like Jonah and only think about ourselves? Or are we going to have a view of humanity that God loves everyone and we all deserve it? We are runaways and God pursues us. So will we turn to a relationship with him? And I know there's people in this room that are like, I have a relationship with Jesus. Great. Tonight you can say again, God, thank you for the love, the forgiveness, and I continue to receive it. Receive the love, the forgiveness, so you don't have to carry it around. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, because there are people in here that are like, I mean, I don't even know what that means. But I'll tell you that Jesus, God, loved us so much, he sent his son to die on this cross for all your sins so that you don't have to carry it. You don't have to carry the weight of whatever you're carrying. That he loves you and he wants to give you grace and forgiveness. And so tonight you can easily say yes to Jesus. And once we receive the grace and the love and the care from God, it is our job to tell others about it and to give it away. So I have two questions, the same two questions we've been talking about is how, looking or reading Jonah, what has that shown us about ourselves? And what does it show us about God? So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to jot that down. And I want you to tell your group when you go back about these, because these are two questions that you'll go over. I'm going to pray, and then you're going to stand up, and we're going to sing the one last song, and then you're going to go to small group. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to read Jonah. I thank you that even though we go the other way, that you pursue us, and that your love is for all people, and it doesn't stop. That we can turn to you, we can go from our evil ways like the Ninevites, and you meet us. Lord, help us to surrender all the things we hold on to of our anger, our injustices, and Lord, meet us with your compassion, care, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I cry to the mountain from the shadows of my wilderness. The rivers of my hope are running dry, praying for a light to break the sky. I cry to the heavens from a weary heart with nothing left. I need you like I need the air I breathe. Even in the darkness, I believe. You're my defender when my enemies are everywhere. The one who finds me where I am but doesn't leave me there. My song will rescue when I have reached the end. I called your name, you heard my cry, and let me out into the light. A savior with a soul to serve. You're running to a runaway. What a God you are, what amazing grace. How you chased me down when I lost my way. A love that I could not escape. You're running to a runaway. I cry to the Father, reaching for a stronger hand than mine. I know I never should have wandered off alone. I should never be this far from home. But you won't rest until you bring me back where I belong. There at the table by your side like I was never gone. Hallelujah, what amazing love. I called your name, you heard my cry, and let me out into the light. A savior with a soul to save. You're running to a runaway. What a God you are, what amazing grace. How you chased me down when I lost my way. A love that I could not escape. You're running to a runaway. I called your name and you heard my cry. You led me out into the light. A savior with a soul to save. You're running to a runaway. What a God.